Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Couple things today for the program. The first is how much ice is melting in Greenland. How much ice is melting in Greenland? And the Times Atlas of the world has overestimated the rate of the melt of ice in Greenland by 10 times, according to different scientists, 20 times or 50 times too fast, and that massive chunks of the Greenland permafrost that the Times Atlas says has melted, there are scientists, significant scientists, who are saying they're just wrong. It's still covered with ice. So we'll look at that, and also the atheists in California who were tearing pages out of the Bible. Now, these atheists, they got to come up with their own shtick. I mean, come on, we did this years ago. In fact, the news story of these atheists, there's a Christian preaching on the beach, on the boardwalk in Southern California, and an atheist is carrying a protest sign with an arrow pointing to the Christian, that he's protesting the Christian, and they're tearing pages out of the Bible. Now, for years here on Bob Enyart Live, we've talked about when there are winos, drug addicts on the street corner, and they have the signs that say, "We'll work for food." And I carry a sign in my trunk, a protest sign with an arrow, and it says, "He's lying." And so I go on the street corner. I ask the guy, "All right, let's go. I got a lot of work. We could unload a truck, and you could have all the food you could carry." And they're, "Oh, no, man, I got a doctor's appointment." And so they won't do it, so then I get out my sign and I protest the guy. And as far as tearing pages out of the Bible, years ago, now I haven't told this story in a while, but years ago when I was involved in full-time jail ministry, there was an inmate in the Jefferson County Jail named Edgar, young Christian guy, and Edgar wanted my Bible because the jail gives out cheap Bibles, and I had a nice Bible. And he wanted my Bible, so I told him, "All right, my full-time jail ministry is coming to an end here pretty soon. So I'd like to give it to you, but you don't believe what it says in this book," because he said that Christians shouldn't judge. So wherever we came to a passage, I showed him where Jesus said, "Judge with righteous judgment." I said, "Edgar, do you agree that we should judge with righteous judgment?" There it is in red letters. Jesus said it. He said, "No, we should not judge." So I ripped the page out of the Bible. And he just freaked out, of course. And then I'd show him where he who has the mind of Christ judges all things to the Corinthians. "Do you agree with that?" "No." And it ripped that page out. "And how about this? There's a whole book in here called Judges. Edgar, do you agree that the judges, that it's good to be a judge?" "No." I ripped the whole book of Judges out. So these atheists in California will look at one or two of the verses they're complaining about, and we'll think about this idea of judging and judge not. And are we supposed to judge? Because, you know, Jesus taught us that we are to judge with righteous judgment. And the Bible says, Jesus says, look, your judgment and mercy, these are important for you as lovers of God. But we've been tricked by Hillary Clinton into thinking that, well, her favorite Bible verse is "judge not." And millions of Christians, they go to Hillary for their theology. I don't know why. But that very passage, that paragraph where Jesus said, "Judge not like a hypocrite," he says, first stop committing the same sin, and then you can judge your brother. So it's right there. All right, so also the banquet on Saturday night, the Colorado Right to Life banquet. Today I called their office and talked to Donna Ballantyne. You know, I'm very involved. I'm a spokesman for Colorado Right to Life. I asked Donna, How did it go? Because this is so important to prepare for round three in Colorado. And she said, Bob, it was the best banquet in the, I forget how many years Donna said, 6 years she's been the office manager. And she said, it was, we raised more money than any previous banquet that I've been involved with. And that's during the years that were on the ballot. So praise God for the blessings that came from the banquet. Alan Keyes, Tom Tancredo, Kevin Swanson, Pastor Michael Walker, Church in the City. It's just so exciting. And by the way, our telethon here at Bob and Yurt Live, we're up to $4,400. $4,400, that's 22% of our goal. Our goal is $20,000. Now that the Colorado Right to Life banquet is done and it's a success, now we could focus on our telethon. And in a little bit, I'll tell you about a couple of our materials. We have a predestination and free will seminar that you could download instantly or get on a CD from us, MP3 CD, that I think you'll love, money back guarantee. What's that, a 4.5 hour seminar? Then we've got the entire book of Proverbs, verse by verse study. Ecclesiastes, that study will shock you. It'll throw you for a loop. It's really fascinating. Solomon, those two books, it's good to study them together because they're both by Solomon, inspired by the Holy Spirit, but at opposite ends of his spiritual spectrum in his life. And what does that mean? And then forgiveness, and then one of our classics, Nicer Than God. Nicer Than God, a seminar on issues like judging and rebuking and name-calling and forgiveness and all those issues. It's just, and it's a really cute cover, too. Okay. So now I want to go to, before we get back to the atheist, oh, and our phone number, 1-800-8-N-YARTS, 1-800-836-9278. Please, if you could donate or get some of our materials or subscribe to our brand new monthly Bible study DVD we mail to your home once a month automatically, please help us out. We'd be so appreciative, and you'll help us stay on the air. Okay, so the Times Atlas of the World. My son Dominic, he's 10 years old. Last couple Saturdays, I wanted to have time just with him. So last Saturday, we went to the Denver Gem and Mineral Show at the Merchandise Mart. Had a tremendous time. And the Saturday before, we walked around Golden, Colorado, and we went to the Golden Library. And in the library, I open up the big atlas, and we're paging through it. My 10-year-old and I were looking at it, and I notice how liberal it is. And how can an atlas be liberal? I mean, how is that even possible? But it's totally possible. It's like people are no good, and dirt is good. Dirt is good. People are bad. People are not assets in a godless worldview. In a godless worldview, people are a liability, like in socialist and communist governments and economic policies. People are a liability. From a biblical perspective, people, although we've rebelled against God, God loves us, wants to save us, and people are assets. To Obama, it's how many mouths do we have to feed? To a conservative Christian, it's look at all these people who could work to improve our standard of living. It's the opposite. Well, the atlas, I'm looking at this big atlas, you know, the kind, if you had it on a coffee table in your living room, that would mean you have a big coffee table. Real nice atlas. And so the current one, they don't publish them every year because it's too expensive. It's published by HarperCollins. So the last one they published was 12 years ago. And they said in their brand new atlas just released this week, they said the permafrost in Greenland, it's not so permanent. Since our last atlas, it's lost 15% of its ice cover, 15%. And so Reuters, this is not like Glenn Beck or whoever, or, you know, Bob Enyart Live. This is Reuters. And so Reuters interviews a number of scientists, and these scientists are coming out like, oh, and by the way, you know where they got the data from? HarperCollins, the publishers, the Times, Atlas of the World, that you find at your local library. They got their data from Boulder, Colorado. You know, up in Boulder, there's NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, and there's NIST, the National Institute of Standards and Technology, and NCAR, and all that. Well, there's also the Snow and Ice Data Center in Colorado. It's up at CU, the campus, University of Colorado. That's where they got their data. So Reuters is quoting all these scientists, including glaciologists from the Polar Research Institute at the University of Cambridge. And they're saying, we think that this Times Atlas, that their claim that there's been a 15% decrease in permanent ice cover is incorrect and misleading. We conclude that a sizable portion of the area mapped as ice-free in the Atlas is clearly still ice-covered. And that just cracks me up. You know, I mean, you wonder about how people could debate about creation evolution or the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We can't even agree on the temperature. And we can't even agree whether the temperature, whether it's getting warmer or cooler or staying the same. We can't agree on whether the ice is melting or freezing in Antarctica. And here's Greenland. I mean, Greenland. It's not like we're talking about a moon, about Io orbiting Jupiter. We're talking about Greenland. And so here's a senior research scientist at the University of Arizona, Jeffrey Cargill, who tells Reuters news agency, these new maps are ridiculous. He said they're ridiculous. Ridiculously off base, way exaggerated compared to the reality of Greenland. So the Times Atlas says, and this is relevant because the global warming obsession with Al Gore, who's got the world's largest carbon footprint of any single individual in the world, the world's largest carbon footprint, and he's made, what, $100 million off of carbon credits and the whole scam that he's involved with. And they take kids and they brainwash them from when they're young, and they get them to reject the creator but worship the creation. So that's what's behind the whole global warming scam. You reject the creator and you worship the creation. So you kill babies in the womb, but not animals, not even bugs, not bugs, not rats, but you kill babies in the womb. That's normal, right? They say that they worship nature. They're dirt worshipers. So a dirt worshiper. What do you mean you worship nature? We worship the cycle of nature. You mean like a cesspool? That's your God? When you go to the restroom, you stop and pray before you flush? That's your God. You worship nature. Very good. So that's why global warming, the whole thing is an issue, because it plays into a worship of the creation and a rejection of the creator. So that's why we get interested when we could show that the whole global warming scam is a con that's easily exposed. So here's a professor of geography at Trent University in Ontario, Canada. And he says, Graham Cogley, and he tells Reuters, the measurements in the Times Atlas of the melt in Greenland is at least 10 times faster than reality. It could be 20 times too fast, and it might even be 50 times faster than what's actually happening. That's a big difference, right? Big difference. And remember the UN Committee of Climate Scientists that said that the Himalayan glaciers would be melted by 2035? And they've been blasted by scientists all over the world who said those glaciers are going to be there for hundreds of years. And so they've had to recant that. And the phony data in Al Gore's famous hockey stick based on these global warming experts who've said, well, we lost the data for the hockey stick. We can't corroborate it. How do you lose the data for the world's most iconic symbol of global warming? How do you do that? We lose things around here, but we haven't started a billion-dollar industry. Okay. So the global warming scam, if you go to kgov.com and search for global warming, our website, you'll find the petition project where 31,000 U.S. scientists have signed a petition saying that there is no man-made global warming crisis. And thousands of those are PhDs, thousands of them. Okay, so that's the global warming news for the day. In fact, wasn't it just last week when a scientist, I'm sure it was, last week a Nobel Prize winning physicist resigned from the APS. That's the nation's most prestigious physics society, American Physics Society, and he quit because of their man-made global warming claims that he utterly rejects. And on their website, and their policy is that not only is global warming occurring, but you can't even debate it. He's like, you can't debate it. What are you guys talking about? I mean, we debate whether or not there are infinite universes. We debate whether a proton or whether a neutron has mass. We debate everything. We debate the craziest things. We can't debate global warming. So he resigned. So and Al Gore is becoming increasingly shrill. And so just think about it. Animal rights, the rights of trees, the rights of bugs, the rights of rocks. We've seen it all. It's a move to turn people's hearts away from the creator and toward the creation. All right. And speaking of turning away from the creator, we have the atheist in California, and they're reporting that atheists are tearing pages out of Bibles, the pages that they say are especially evil, especially terrible. And I've got one right here I opened up, and it comes from the Sermon on the Mount. I mean, the Sermon on the Mount is considered the most peaceful, extraordinary advance in mankind's attitude toward other men in the history of the world. And so they want to turn out a passage in Matthew chapter 5, and I'll read it to you. Warning, 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 Will Robinson, there are Bible verses up ahead. For those in the audience who advocate pluralism and diversity, we know here at Bob and Yurt Live that you would like to censor anyone who would dare quote a Bible verse in public. So this warning gives you fair notice. Raw, unadulterated truth is about to be uttered. All right, let's see. Matthew chapter 5. I've got a New King James here. It's pretty much the same as the version they were quoting there. So Matthew 5, and it's in red letters, so we know this is what Jesus said. And the Lord is speaking about adultery, that not only is adultery wrong, but the lust in your heart is wrong. Okay, so in other words, you respect a woman that's in your circle the way you'd respect your sister, your mother, your daughter. So respect other people's sisters and daughters the way you'd respect your own sister and daughter. I realize that atheists may want to fornicate and commit adultery with their neighbor's wife, but Jesus said that it's wrong. And this is the part they really don't like. Jesus said, well, let's see here. They're saying verse 29, so let's read it. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out, cast it from you, for it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. So they're saying, look how terrible that is, because Jesus said, cut out your eye if it causes you to sin. Now, that is pretty gross, I have to admit. You'd have to use something like one of those little melon scoopers that you make a fruit salad with. I mean, it's pretty bad. But Jesus said, if it causes you to sin, now, sin is a matter of the heart and the mind. Sin is not a matter of your right hand or your left hand. So if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Now, your hand can't make you sin. So maybe it's that Jesus is a little bit more thoughtful than these atheists in Orange County, California, at Huntington Beach. Maybe. Like Jesus said here in the same chapter, he said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." Now, when you get really hungry, do you start chewing pages of the Bible? I don't. I don't even think that'd be very filling. So obviously there are figures of speech that the Lord uses, that atheists use, that we all use. And if we want to pretend that we can't understand those figures of speech or the hyperbole that's common in all of human interaction, if we pretend that we can't understand that, then we'll be hypercritical of everything our friends say and everything we say ourselves. Of everything. Everything? Well, not really everything. I'm using hyperbole. And so when Jesus speaks and speaks of your eye causing you to sin or your hand causing you to sin, or if you divorce your wife without cause, right? He says, and except for sexual immorality, porneia in the Greek, you cause her to sin. Well, wait a minute. You can't cause another person to sin. That's right. You can't. Your hand cannot cause you to sin. These are figures of speech to try to get you to think about the deeper matter. And in the ancient world, a woman pretty much had three choices because of the level of the standard of living in the world and the place that humanity was at trying to survive in a fallen world. And a woman either lived in her father's home or in her husband's home, or she was a prostitute. That was pretty much her choices to survive. And people died very young, as in their 40s, they died. If you were healthy, you lived into your 50s. Of course, there were exceptions a couple thousand years ago where you could live 70, 80, 90. The Apostle John was undoubtedly the oldest of the apostles to live the longest. He died about 100 AD. But these are figures of speech in Scripture are so absolutely necessary to our ability to communicate. And if we pretend that we don't understand what one another is saying, then what we're doing is we're betraying our own fear. We're betraying our own weakness. So your hand cannot cause you to sin. And regardless of how terribly you treat your wife, that is to be condemned, but you can't cause her to sin. Your eye cannot cause you to sin. Sin is a decision of the heart. It's a willful disposition. Just like love has to be freely given. Love has to be freely given. Otherwise, it'd be something else. Like maybe a chemical or magnetic attraction or gravity. But it couldn't be love unless it was freely given. So in order to love, you need the ability to hate. You just need it. And sin is a willful condition of the heart. And so the Lord is trying to get us to realize that whatever the opportunities we have in this life, they are nothing compared to the eternal opportunity of enjoying Him and enjoying those who love Him. So that ultimately, love is freely given. And so either people love God forever or they hate him, and he is a healthy God. Like an unhealthy man might try to force a woman to love him. And how does that work? That works really well, right? An unhealthy husband might carry his bride across the threshold and then nail shut the doors and the windows and tell her, you're not going anywhere. Pretty sick. You can't force a woman to love a man. God doesn't force us to love him. Love has to be freely given. So if somebody says, these atheists in Huntington Beach, California, they say, well, I just don't love God. I don't believe in God. I sure don't want anything to do with the God of the Bible. I'd rather rip his book up. Well, then God gives them the desire of their heart. Everybody gets the desire of their heart. So if God is the desire of your heart, you get to live with God. And if it's your desire to live without God, then you get your desire. Because God is a healthy God. And so it's tragic that these atheists will stoop so far as to take from one of the greatest teachings in the history of the human race, how the Lord taught us to be gracious toward one another, and they would twist this to try to make Jesus look like he was advocating that people disfigure themselves and dismember their own body in an attempt to be holy. Now, is it possible that just like atheists, there might be Christians who take this literally? Oh, yeah. I mean, you can't overestimate someone's ability to be dense. You can't do that. And so, yes, it is possible. But Jesus, they asked Jesus, why do you speak in metaphors? Why do you speak in parables? Why do you speak in symbols? He said, because the people who want to understand, they will. But the people who despise me, they won't understand. And Jesus is the rope that people need to hang themselves. Jesus is the rope. You know, he's the stumbling stone, the rock of offense. Jesus is the rope people need to hang themselves. If they want to, he gives them the rope. He is the rope. And so we cover this in our seminar called Nicer Than God. It is so fun. I mean, not only will it support Bob and Yart Live, but it'll also cause you, I think, to laugh out loud a few times. Thoroughly enjoyable Bible study that brings the scriptures home to reality in my daily life. And it deals with judging, rebuking, forgiveness, and so many other biblical topics. There's a cameo appearance in here. It's all audio. You could download it right now, or we'll mail it to you on MP3 CD, Nicer Than God. But it's just so, so neat. And also our brand new monthly Bible study DVDs. It's a subscription for $44.99 a month. Come to your mailbox once a month automatically. So please help us out. Our website, kgov.com, and 800-8-NYART. May God bless you.